You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Well, hello everybody and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. This is episode 102. Yes, I'm surprised as you that we've made it this far. Today there is no Jeff. My name is Matt Hall here as always, and I'm joined by Charlotte Richardson. Charlotte, you're back. Welcome.
I'm back. We joked, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago that I would find some means of coming up every week. And yeah, week three, I'm on a good run.
You're here. That's 2 weeks out of three. That's pretty good going, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's great to be a part of.
And we've got a lot coming up on today's show, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got tons. There's so much going on at the football club anyway. We can look back on that result against Wrexham, see how all our loan players are getting on. And obviously, I'm going to have one eye on the opening of Broomfields and that FA Trophy game.
Just one.
But in between all that, of course, we've got a big game tomorrow as well to talk about.
We have. And starting with Wrexham, now, obviously, I know you weren't there on the day, Charlotte, but I'm sure you've seen the pictures and the really impressive crowd that day. It's great, isn't it? And the weather, too.
The weather was beautiful, and I did have one eye on the result because it was a massive game welcoming Wrexham. Everyone knows about their budget. Everyone knows about the fantastic run of form that they've been on. And to see the photos and to see the fan engagement, as always with Bromley, I'm always so impressed. Impressed by what goes on both on the pitch and off it as well. And I'm told, as far as nil-nils go, it was a hard-earned point and a constructive one. It was just a shame we couldn't go and build upon it midweek.
Absolutely. I think you look at the way the game panned out, and obviously Wrexham starting with the two big name signings up front, Paul Mullin and Ollie Palmer, both of them very clearly very talented players. They've spent a lot of time in the Football League. However, I thought we did a fantastic job of shutting them off. I think if you listen to Andy Woodman's post-match interview, he was absolutely delighted with the performance. And actually, I think all of us agreed that Bromley could have won that game and perhaps should have won it. There was a lot of late pressure. I think it was 8 minutes of additional time at the end of the game, which was a bit nerve-wracking because it was one of those games that could have gone either way. But I felt on the day Bromley were really, really good value for the point and possibly even 3 points. So to push a team with that budget that far and for it to be such a close game, not forgetting they've won 7 games on the bounce before that. It's impressive, isn't it? It shows the talent that we've got here.
I think it's a really important point to make. Andy's been very open about the fact that our form hasn't been where he would necessarily have liked it in recent weeks. Momentum is so priceless in football. So to go toe-to-toe with a team full of confidence, riding high off of the back of so many wins, it took a great deal to kind of stunt that. And I think credit to the defence and the way that Andy set up his team. But as you say as well, taking those moments down the other end of the pitch and making them count. And just unfortunately not being able to get that goal was the difference. But we keep saying it. I mean, I watch a lot of football across the whole English pyramid, and the National League is one of the most competitive. The margins are so, so fine. And I think that's why you see week in, week out, games are normally determined by the odd goal and kind of crucial moments in matches, and that really does tend to be the difference. And as we head into the business end of the season, I think it is about that composure and preparation for each and every game, and it's the cliche, isn't it, taking each one as it comes. But I think that will hold Bromley in good stead, and the maturity of the club now to be holding its own is a bit of a poor phrase, but we're mixing it in with these massive clubs, and we deserve the right to be there, and the players and the management have worked hard to make that so it's going to be so exciting. We've got so much to look forward to between now and the end of the season.
Absolutely. I think if you look at the league table, just take a look at that, really illustrates the 2 points that you make there in terms of how tight it is. And actually, if we put a little run together, you know, we could be right back amongst it. And I know that's what Andy wants the players to do, and they're very capable of doing it. Remember, we went on a 13 game unbeaten run earlier on this season, which was fantastic to watch, and we've just got to believe that we can do that again. We've got to believe we can do what we did last season. season and go from being outsiders to getting into those playoffs and really cementing that place and giving us the best possible chance of hopefully, dare I say it, getting into those playoffs and making it a success. So, indeed, a really, really good performance on Saturday. Moving on to some other news, I'm just going to run through some loan watch news here. Thank you to Josh for providing this for us. So, as some of you will have seen, Ben Margetson and Marcus Sablier joined Welling United towards the end of last week. Both of them played a full 90 in Welling's 1-0 win over Chelmsford City. So, well done and congratulations to them. Corey Roberts scored against Havant and Waterlooville for Dartford and picked up his second Man of the Match award in as many games. Archie Burnett and Palace Francis played for Leatherhead as they beat East Thurrock, and Sol Cader featured for over an hour for Cray Wanderers. Moving on, Finlay Lovett played a full 90 minutes for Mersham, but unfortunately they lost 3-1 to Hornchurch, and other loanees, Toby Stevenson and Sam Skeffington, didn't feature for Billericay. And Charlotte, you talk about the football that you watch across the country and the players that you've come into contact with during your career. And as young players particularly, these loan spells are so vital in players' development, aren't they?
They really are, and it's interesting to see, again, it's part of the football operations of this club, isn't it? The players that aren't in the first team or the youngsters coming through where the staff decide to allocate them their minutes. And massive credit to Corey Roberts. I actually watched his debut for Dartford. I can't remember off the top of my head who it was that they were playing, but I was doing the commentary for that game and I can recall him as a standout player because he's always been very calm and composed on the ball. But he really stood out in that Dartford team who were pushing for promotion. And the fact that he's picked up back-to-back Man of the Matches and is contributing down the other end of the pitch, that's obviously a club where he is going and picking up that experience as well. And Welling, they're in a dogfight down the other end of the pitch. So what a great opportunity for those two youngsters to go and contribute, make a difference. I've known Archie Burnett for a couple of seasons now. He played for Margate when I was there. And I always used to say to him after games, goodness me, you are battered and bruised because he's such a technically gifted player in the heart of midfield and in the Isthmian League, a player like that. Sometimes others are kind of leaning on him, trying to physically outmaneuver him. But that's part of Archie's game now, is getting those minutes under his belt. And I think it's just really, really important for these players that when they go out on loan, they get the minutes, they get the experience, they know what it's like to fight for points week in, week out, because in other academy environments, sometimes players don't get that experience until they're sort of in their early-ish 20s. So it's really good to see, really encouraging. And it just means that should they ever need to be recalled, which you never quite know with injuries, they're going to be sharp, ready and hungry.
Absolutely. And good luck to all of those players who are on loan from the club. We look forward to keeping up with their development and the results over the next coming days. Talking of loans out to loans in, Ali Alhamadi, I'll come to you in a second, Charlotte, but of course, Ali Alhamadi representing Iraq nationally, which is absolutely fantastic for him. And he came on as a late sub on Thursday night in their 1-0 World Cup qualifier win over the United Arab Emirates. First of all, let's talk about Ali and his fan base. I think, by the way you're looking at me there, it's very clear to see that you've also seen the Facebook posts and the Instagram posts, and that this guy has got quite a following, hasn't he?
It's amazing. I mean, firstly, what an honour to play for your country, and it would be great to catch up with him and find out how that experience was. But secondly, fantastic for a club like Bromley to get that kind of international spotlight and to see our fan base open up to, you know, a completely different demographic, which is fantastic. It's brilliant. We've got some Bromley fans now in parts of the world that we didn't ever anticipate, and it's really good to see, really heartwarming to see as well. And it just reiterates, doesn't it, as we're kind of looking ahead to the summer. A couple of weeks ago, Andrea and I were talking about the Euros, but then we've got the World Cup. We are so spoilt for international football, and amazing that we've got a player in our ranks who is part of those World Cup qualifiers.
Wouldn't it be so great if they got through and Bromley would have a player in the World Cup? That would be just amazing, wouldn't it?
I mean, I'm already plotting what we're going to be doing with the big screen and out in the bar outside in Broomfields cheering him on, should that be the case. But that is incredible. And again, not too many former Bromley players can say that. That'll be a first, I imagine. So
we're going global, aren't we?
We are indeed, one week at a time.
which is absolutely brilliant to see. Obviously, unfortunately, as good as that all is, it meant that we were missing Al Hammadi for Tuesday's trip to Yeovil. And what I will say is, from the moment Ali Al Hammadi came in, he started the game against Solihull Moors in the Trophy the next day. You would have thought, watching that game, that he'd been playing with the team or training with the team for months on end. He'd had one training session. And I think, you know, a few eyebrows were raised when Andy put him straight into the starting lineup. But I think within the first 10 minutes, those eyebrows were back down, because the performance that he put in on the day, the performances that he's been putting in, including the game against Wrexham, have just been phenomenal. This guy is one heck of a talent. And I, for one, cannot wait to see what else he's able to produce, not only for his country, but for us. It's really, really exciting. Moving on to that game on Tuesday, we can gloss over this bit, really, can't we?
Well, you and Jeff provided me with fantastic entertainment. I was travelling. I had a long old journey from Newcastle, and I listened to your commentary, which I think is fantastic. And again, just to reiterate, it's brilliant that the club provides that. But I could tell from your commentary pretty early on, to be honest, that we were not sounding like normal Bromley. And I think it's important to highlight the influential players that were missing. Chris Bush, Billy Bingham, I think are two, personally from the games I've watched, two of the most influential players in the spine of the team. You play a back three where I think Omar was missing, Bushy was missing, and it just kind of destabilises things a bit. And teams will try, with a team like Bromley, who are so solid and organised defensively, they will try and pick at that. And if there's a new player coming into the team, they will try and exploit that. And I remember there was a period last season, I think, where Bingham was missing for injury, a wrist injury or something. And I remember the difference he made when he came back into the team. I know there's still players that can step up and fill that void. There's plenty of experience and so on. But sometimes when you're missing key players, it can be a bit of a shame. But not only that, the timing of it as well, because I think both players had babies. I think we've had three babies.
Congratulations.
Yeah, massive. Yeah, massive congratulations. I think Billy, Chris and Jack.
Jack Hawley, yes.
Have all had babies this week.
Incredible, isn't it?
A trio of boys as well, I think. I'm not sure. I know two. I know two had boys, which is amazing. But on a footballing note, Andy and his staff would have prepared the team. It happened quite late. And they're just sometimes, when the things are the finest of margins, they're just the things you can't quite, you can't quite cover for. And I'm sure both will be kind of ready and raring for tomorrow's game to top off a good week and maybe be back in the team. But yeah, a night to gloss over. And with the games at the moment coming thick and fast, there's an opportunity to go and do some business at Willstone tomorrow.
And I do need to apologise on that note, because I did shout out and congratulate Billy on the newborn, but I didn't actually realise at the time that Chris and Chris's partner had had one as well. So I did apologise to Chris in the second half, but rest assured, our congratulations is with all three of you, actually, with Jack as well. And like we say, hopefully see Billy and Chris back on the pitch tomorrow at a Wildstone. Before we made the trip down to Yeovil, we had the pleasure of hosting the National League Under-11s Cup here at Hayes Lane. And Charlotte, I wanted to get your thoughts on something here. The morning tournament, it was split into two, a morning and afternoon tournament. The morning tournament was for girls. And obviously, as you know, it's something the club have really worked on over the past few years and are really pushing, is female participation in football and sport in general. 10 girls teams turned up, and some of the football that was played was absolutely fantastic. And that aspect of things is really coming along, not only at the club, but in the local area, isn't it?
I love it. It's brilliant. Sometimes I just wish I could be at primary school again. These opportunities, these tournaments simply didn't exist, 5 years ago even. And there is a massive push nationally from the governing bodies, the Football Association, Sport England. There is a massive drive, as you mentioned, and as we covered a couple of weeks ago on the pod, to create equal opportunity within schools. That is a headline strategic aim of the Football Association, to ensure that every boy and every girl can access football in primary schools. And then it kind of links to clubs like ours, the community trust that does so much incredible work week in, week out. I think we could have a podcast every day and tell several different stories of the work that you and the team do in the community trust. It's then those links that kind of build the picture of a bit of an infrastructure, not only for girls' football, women's football, walking football, and so on. And it's all part of what we're doing here. And it's making Bromley a hub for activity, both on the pitch and off it. And it's brilliant to see. And I'm not surprised, like I say, I've been at the club now for 2 weeks, but before then I know how highly regarded as a facility it is and how open it's been for people to approach the club to host things here, which I think is really important. Long may it continue, and it's brilliant to see.
Congratulations to Wickham Common, who won the girls' tournament, and they'll progress to the regionals, which we are delighted to be hosting here as well on behalf of the National League Trust. A big thank you to them for their support. Moving on to the afternoon, we had a similar tournament for the boys, and 13 teams in that one. Fiercely contested afternoon. Pickhurst Juniors were the winners of that tournament, so a massive congratulations to them. In fact, going back a few years, Pickhurst Juniors got right through to the final stage of this tournament with the winners playing in front of the playoff final crowd at Wembley, and they lost in the last game, and it was the first goal they conceded for the entire tournament, and they lost 1-0. So come on, Pickhurst, let's avenge that result this time. Get you to, I'm not sure where it's going to be this year, wherever the playoff final's held, to play on the pitch. What an experience that must be, Charlotte, for a young boy or a girl to have that opportunity.
Incredible, absolutely amazing. I love that. And who knows, maybe this year it will end up at Wembley and we might be there with them. But it's brilliant, those opportunities. And again, massive credit to Bromley Football Club that the regional event is going to be here as well. That's a massive, massive compliment. And I'll be keeping my eyes peeled. And I need to get better. Now I work here full time, I need to get better at popping out on my lunch break and watching the football that goes on, because I'm always conscious there's always something going on that pitch. I'm kind of chained to my desk or down at Broomfields at the moment. But I'll hopefully go out and then be able to watch a bit of it.
Certainly a hub of activity, isn't it? Talking of activity away from football now, Charlotte, there's a few things going on in the events department, aren't there?
Yes, the events department, again, another growing, successing arm of everything that's going on at Bromley Football Club. Of course, we have the amenities here for a decent night out, and there's an 80s night taking place on Saturday evening. Tonight, isn't it, in the Ravens Bar. Tickets are £10. If anyone is listening to this, that's still got a bit of time to go down there, why not have a good night out? But on a serious note, that is something that we're really, really going to be focusing on. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about my objectives as a marketing manager here, but after the launch of Broomfields, there will be lots of different events and such going on, both at Broomfields, the Ravens Bar. Just to provide a bit of fun and a bit of a night out, because goodness me, after 2 years basically being locked away because of COVID, it's nice to be able to host such events.
We'll talk more about Broomfields later on, and we're hoping to bring in a guest on that one as well. Let's now look ahead to the game tomorrow. I remember Wealdstone visiting Hayes Lane here earlier this season, and what an absolute cracker of a game that was. It's going to be a big opportunity tomorrow for Andy Woodman's side to bounce back, and we know that they can do that. We know they've got that ability. We've seen it earlier this season, and actually a great case in point was that Wealdstone game, where it finished 3-2 to Bromley in the end, and it was just back and forth goals. Wealdstone taking the lead, Bromley eventually getting it to 2-2, and Byron Webster, I'm sure you've seen the picture of Byron Webster wheeling away in celebration with a last minute goal. I remember on the commentary that day, it was so manic in the gantry, the mic unplugged from the camera, and all you can hear in the background is our analyst Stuart in the thickest Scottish accent shouting, "Yeah, come on." And I was getting messages saying, "You lost it on that goal, didn't you?" And I was saying, "Well, no, I didn't, I was commentating." But yeah, unfortunately the mic unplugged, and it sounded like I was just thought, let's forget the commentary, I'm just going to celebrate here. But Charlotte, in all seriousness, it is the business end of the season. Results are important now, and like we said earlier, if we get one, we're pretty confident that more can follow.
Yeah, and I think since Andy's come in charge, he's got a really good record. We haven't lost too many times since he's been manager, and when we have, it's never tended to be, you know, something that hangs around like a bad smell. You know, there's always been a reaction. So hopefully that will be the case tomorrow. Wealdstone are going to be a really, really tough outfit. just being around the place this week, you can see the sort of focus and determination. There's still a really good energy amongst the group. And I think spurred on perhaps by that disappointment midweek, they'll be going there really well prepared, and I suspect it will be another really entertaining 90 minutes, and perhaps will present you with an opportunity to just lose yourself and forget perhaps about the commentary, because those are the moments, aren't they, that you kind of want as a commentator, something good to get lost in, and you know, a fun game to watch.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed for a good performance and a good result. But as you know, on this podcast, we always like to have a foot in the opposition camp. This week, we were delighted to hear from Wealdstone head of media, Chris, who also provided a summary in the reverse fixture. And here's what he had to say about Wealdstone season so far.
So, yeah, I think we've had a very, very positive season at Wealdstone. It's sort of shown in our league position now. We've massively beat our expectations set in the summer, which was just safety. That looks all but secure even right now at this stage of the season with more than 10 games to go. It looks we look in a really good position. And we're coming into this game, I'd say it's probably the best we've been playing. We made some additions to the squad early February, late January, in the midfield particularly. And the side's really turned round, and I don't think anyone's safe when they're playing against us. I mean, looking at what we did against Stockport last weekend, you know, we were 2-0 up at half-time. We should have been 3 or 4-0 up. It was an absolute cruise control in that first half, and then obviously they're the league leaders and they showed their quality in the end, and they did get a bit of luck from a lucky penalty, and yeah, and there's maybe some dodgy questionable set piece defending. On another day, I think we could have probably left there with something, which is saying all about the progress that we've had this season. I feel like, well, I'm very confident going into Saturday's game. We ran you guys close at your place in December with our keeper getting sent off, and even then we drew it back to 2-2 until the 95th minute, agonisingly. Obviously, it was great for you guys. But yeah, I think Bromley have shown this season they're a team that can be got at. They're a very good team with very good young players too, but I think they're a team that can be got at, and sort of when questions are asked for them, they tend to, from my perspective, sort of slip off a bit, and I think that's where we can capitalise on the weekend. It should be a lovely, beautiful sunny day like we've been seeing all week as well. It's non-league day too, you know, you've got plenty of ticket offers on at the ground as well. It should be a really good atmosphere for everybody. I hope your fans all enjoy their visit. For some it might be their first visit to our ground, and for others who probably visited last time we played you lot with fans in, the ground has changed considerably since as well. So yeah, I just hope it's a good day for all. We've not been a team that's because we're, you know, more or less safe now, we've not took our eye off the ball. If anything, we've been playing better. And yeah, I've not said this for many games this season, but I'm confident, really confident, going in, not to just this game, but all our remaining games too. I think if we keep this style of football up and this identity we've established and really worked hard at building throughout the season, then yeah, nobody's safe really. This is I think we're coming into this game really in form.
Big thank you to Chris, who I'm pretty sure is the first podcast double from an opposition club this year. We really do appreciate it, and it's always brilliant for our listeners to have an insight into what goes on and what's going on at the opposition club.
Right, in terms of more insight now, let's hear it from manager Andy Woodman, who spoke to Matt earlier today.
Andy, we always start by taking a look at the two games since we last spoke, and starting off on a very positive note, Wrexham was a great day all round, although you'll feel slightly aggrieved that the side didn't get the win despite dominating large parts of the game.
Yeah, I thought we put a good performance in, to be honest, and felt we was unlucky not to get the breakthrough. So yeah, I've come away from that game feeling very positive and quite happy that we kept a clean sheet against one of the better teams in the league. And again, like I say, we just missed that cutting edge just when we needed it to get the breakthrough. And then in contrast, we went to Yeovil on Tuesday, and I'm not making excuses, but we had two of our lads' wives went into labour in the morning, which kind of threw all of our plans that we put in place for the game sort of out the window a little bit. And then we put in a performance that just wasn't us. There's no other way to describe it. You know, we was really out of character for us on the night. So that was a disappointment. That said, we had probably more chances in that game than we have in the other game. So mixed emotions. But the most important thing is, you know, we needed to get the points on the board, and we didn't choose it. That was a real disappointment.
And initially with that Wrexham game, it's clear now to see that the club has got a consistent support base and is getting consistently good attendances, which must really please you and must be motivation for the players as well.
Yeah, I think that we're noticing there's more people coming through the door, and that's brilliant. And the support is really, you know, welcomed. You know, we've got to keep playing well at home, particularly, you know, to make sure that we're giving a brand of football that people can relate to, and a team on the pitch that people are going to be quite proud of. And I think we've done that on the vast majority of the season. So yeah, we've noticed that, and we want to keep that momentum going. Obviously, the new Broomfield is going to be opened next week. You know, that will hopefully give a lot of people more reason to come.
The boys were visibly gutted after that Yeovil game. How have they been coming back into training this week?
Well, it's one of those. I mean, we was all gutted. We're gutted. You know, I want to make sure that people realise that we don't take losing or accept losing just as like brushing it away. We was gutted for the people that travelled down there, for the people that work at the club here, and for everyone involved in Bromley, you know, fans, supporters and staff, because we're out there representing them. And I hate to say it, sometimes you just have nights like that. Just at the moment, we've had a couple that have just not been right. In the past, I said margins have been tight and you could go either way. The other night, we made no excuses, we was poor, which was a real disappointment after Wrexham. But we've bounced back in training this week. The lads have been exactly like I'd expect them to be, ready to go for Saturday. And we go to Wilson, which will be a tough, tough test as well. You know, I say it, there's no easy game.
And obviously tomorrow being non-league day, an opportunity for some who might not have done so already to follow Bromley away.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great incentive that the league clubs with international games do. They sort of entice or encourage people to go to watch their local team. So I think that's brilliant, and I really hope that the surrounding clubs can come over to Wildstone this week or any club in the non-league vicinity and go and watch them and support them, because I read a really good article this week in the Times about the level of football that's being played in this league, and I think people will be surprised.
And finally, a real positive, looking at the bench on Tuesday night, we saw Mason Bloomfield and Harry Forster return, which will be two great options for you going into the rest of the season.
Yeah, we're getting a few bodies back, and it's making it a little bit more difficult for me in a nice way to select a team on the pitch. We've got to make sure we get the right mix on the pitch, and I felt we had that last Saturday, and we need to sort of really build on what we did last Saturday and have the confidence to do what we've done last Saturday, and just maybe cause a few more problems in around the goal.
Andy, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Brilliant to hear from Andy, as always. I really appreciate his time on the weekly interviews there. Away from first team action, the under-23s, who are having a brilliant season. There's so much talent in that under-23 side, and a lot of players that I think we're going to see filter through to the first team, and some that have already, actually. They travel to Oxford City, so very best of luck to them on Saturday. We'll keep one eye on that fixture while we're at Wildstone as well.
It's a massive weekend for the football club this weekend, because on Sunday we have first versus third here at Hayes Lane. Bromley Ladies are taking on Clapton Community. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff, and I'd really encourage everyone to come down and show the ladies your support. The tickets are free. You just have to sign up online via the Bromley website to get yours. And Clapton always bring a good crowd, so it'd be great for the ladies to be supported by the Bromley contingent.
It's the Clapton Ultras, isn't it? They've got a really good following. So like you say, we need the backing for Bromley as well, don't we?
Absolutely. We need to make it feel like a home game, that's for sure, because the ladies are pushing to get promotion, and that would be huge if they do that.
We had the FA Cup game for the Bromley ladies earlier this season against Hastings, who are obviously a division above, and it was a brilliant performance from Bromley on the day, and a great result to knock Hastings out of the FA Cup. And the support on that day, I think it was over 400, was just absolutely immense. And again, Charlotte, something the club are taking really seriously, isn't it? And something that we're going to see develop even more over the coming months and years.
We're going to be driving it so that Bromley Ladies, which again, that might stay the name for a little while longer, but ultimately it's Bromley Football Club, and we'll be pushing. And it takes a lot of hard work to grow a fan base, but I'm sure those 400 that came to the FA Cup would have experienced something a little bit different to what they experience on a Saturday. And it's all about providing that opportunity for supporters to enjoy football in all different means. So a massive game, a really good opportunity. I know it's Mothering Sunday, and I know lots of people will be going for Sunday roasts and stuff like that, but the weather's going to be good. So if they can come down and support in between their lunch and dinner, then that would be great.
Absolutely. On the youth side, we've got two youth Kent County Cup finals, if I can get my words out. Bromley under-13s versus Phoenix Sports at 10 o'clock. The under-15s take on Cray Wanderers at 2:30, and both of them take place at Sheppey United. Tickets are over on our website, and there's a full summary of everything going on with those youth teams and the two finals over on our website, bromleyfc.tv. Very best of luck to those two teams, and of course, all of our youth teams playing across the weekend. We've got some great talent in those youth teams as well, and some brilliant committed coaches and volunteers. So best of luck to everyone involved on that side.
It's been another really busy week at Hayes Lane, and there's one individual who has probably covered more inches of flooring up the stairs, here, there and everywhere across the venue than our head of food and beverage, and that's Megan Carter, who I'm delighted is joining us now. You get the opportunity to sit down for a couple of minutes, Megan.
I know, it's quite nice to sit down, isn't it?
So look, we are a week away from launching Broomfields. Tell everyone what you've been doing, the kind of final touches, how is everything coming together?
Yeah, so it's been very busy, mainly 2 weeks. So the builders handed the building over to us on the 14th. So just been getting in there, getting cooking in the kitchen, all the equipment's been arriving. Today we had our first beer delivery, which is very exciting. Just getting kind of everywhere set. All the staff are going to be trained next week, which will be really nice, so a couple of sessions for them. They get to have all their new uniform and taste some of the food.
And we've seen all the marketing material go out. We've seen some of the supporters come and have a little sneak peek as they come to the home games. It looks fantastic down there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks really good. I think it's going to be a real kind of asset to the club. I think it's going to bring in a new crowd of people, as well as help out everyone that's here so they can enjoy a pint on match day, some food in the week. It's going to be a really good restaurant.
What has been lovely today, and we're going to be doing exactly the same next week from 12 till 2 o'clock, is having home supporters buying their tickets for the FA Trophy and their reaction when they walk through the door at Broomfields. And what is lovely as well is it's supporters of all ages, different genders and so on. And it's a question I've been asked a lot about the look and feel of Broomfields. Can you explain to us perhaps, you know, why it looks the way it does and the homely vibe that you're creating from the furnishings to the customer service?
Yeah, we want kind of everyone to feel at home when they come in. I've always wanted to do that everywhere I've worked, so that you don't feel like you're coming out as such, you feel like you're coming out to be in your own home. So everything's going to be friendly, relaxed, we've got really comfy seats, which will be great. We've got some benches, so it seems like you can sit there in a sports bar and watch football or watch rugby. We kind of tried to put the brand all the way through. The food is going to tell a story through Ali, as well as the drinks. We've gone for some real local seasonal stuff. So we've got some Kent gin, we've got some Kent English sparkling wine as well. So you have to come and try that when you come.
And something you've both been involved in, actually, is there's a special night this week, this coming week. I think it's Thursday, isn't it? An unexpected bolt-on to our season ticket holders' benefits, I guess. And that is a special invitation, isn't it? Really exciting for those individuals.
Yeah, definitely. So we're inviting all our season ticket holders to join us next Thursday. We're still going to be in training mode, so it's going to be a chance for everyone to come and enjoy a meal on us as well as a drink on us and start to understand how service will work in there and how everything's going to go. So we're really looking forward to inviting all the season ticket holders, and all feedback will be welcome. I'm going to be there, so come and speak to me and send in your feedback afterwards, because yeah, we want to make it the best
I think
possible.
It's really important, isn't it, to emphasise that fact that the staff are being trained, these are new processes, this is the first time the football club has opened up a facility like that, and it's important for people to give their feedback and to perhaps be a little bit patient as well. And I would advise any season ticket holder that hasn't responded to their invitation to RSVP, because we've got a big chunk of people coming and we've got some first team players coming. Andy Woodman's going to be there as well, and that's really, really exciting. Looking ahead to Saturday the 2nd, when we host the semi-final, can you talk people through where to go, what to sort of do when they kind of open up and come through the doors at Broomfields?
Definitely. So Saturday, I think it's going to be a very busy opening day for us. But with the run-up nights before, we'll be well prepared. So we will be open from first thing. So from 8 o'clock in the morning, you can come to Broomfields, come and have your breakfast. If you're dropping your kids at soccer school, feel free to come and join us. We're going to have lovely coffees as well. Then from 12 o'clock, that's when our bar will open, and we'll turn into our kind of match day lunch menu. So our match day menu will be available from 12 o'clock all the way through to 9 p.m. And then from 1 till 7, we invite you to stay with us. The bar will be half price for a certain amount of drinks, so you can come and enjoy a drink. And then definitely stay on after the game for a celebration. We've got our resident DJ, and we'll still be serving food and drinks. So, yeah, it's going to be a big day, and exciting that we get to open Broomfields on the same day as the FA Trophy semi-final.
I was going to say, you couldn't really ask for a better day or a better occasion to open it on, could you? What was your reaction when you saw that draw, when the date was confirmed? You must have been really excited, but actually thought, this is going to be a lot of work. This is going to be really, really busy.
Yeah, if I could say, I was secretly hoping for an away draw, just to give us an extra day. But actually, the way that it's forward is going to be brilliant, because we're going to have as many Bromley fans here as possible. And to open Broomfields on that day is going to be great. The buzz, the atmosphere in there is going to be amazing. So yeah, it's gonna be brilliant.
That's the thing, isn't it? It does feel like it's aligned somewhat. I mean, Meg, we were all together, weren't we? We had a team meeting, and couldn't help but feel that Meg was the most tentative. Everyone else was like, home draw, and then cue the celebrations. Because, you know, regardless, it's amazing to make it to a semi-final. It is a huge investment that the club has made into this facility. It's something to be really, really proud of. And I recorded an interview with Chef Ali. You will get to know Chef Ali, Bromley fans. He's amazing. And he was telling me all about the attention to detail that he's put into his menu, and that it's more than football. It's about the community. And I think that's a point not to be lost, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And the menu that kind of we've crafted together is full of things all about Ali, all about Bromley, all about the club, all about Broomfields. And we're trying to kind of bring that all together. And we've got so many like homemade and handcrafted items on our menu, which you don't see that often in restaurants these days. So yeah, definitely come and try. We've got a lovely big menu, so you have a chance to come and try everything on it.
Well, I'm sure everybody at the club is as excited as all of us in this room at the moment. We're really looking forward to it. Can't wait to sample the Broomfields menu. Megan, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you.
I think that's it, Charlotte. It's been an action-packed episode, but I think we've made it through episode 102.
It's been such a pleasure once again. And isn't it nice to think that maybe this time next week we could have a pint and a glass of wine from Broomfields?
We could be recording from Broomfields. How about that?
I think we should do it. Shall I see you there next week?
Yes, same time, same place next week. Charlotte, it's been a pleasure to be joined by you today. Thank you so much for presenting with me today. And thank you to all of you who are listening into this podcast. We couldn't do it without you, and we wouldn't do it without you. So thank you so much for your continued support. Do come on down and get behind the boys at Wildstone if you can. And remember, we've got something of a big game next week as we welcome York City to Hayes Lane for that FA Trophy semi-final. So get on down and back the boys. And here's to a strong end to the season. Thank you so much for listening once again. We'll be back next week. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.